welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
Hi, this is Jessica and
Natalie,
and we're here with
this is Elisa Stern,
and this is Syosset Library's Turn the Page podcast. Elisa, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming. And we're going to be seeing Elisa very soon at SciCon, which is our pop culture convention. Event in September, on September 14th. But Elisa, would you like to talk a little bit about what you do?
Certainly. Well, a few years ago now, I started making Doctor Who puppets, and I made a whole web series with them. It's an original Doctor Who story. It's done with stop motion animation. I made it along with some awesome, talented people. You can see it all on YouTube if you search Dr. Puppet.
Natalie and I have both watched it.
We are huge fans.
Awesome. Huge, huge fans. In fact,
I think
the way that I connected with you, Elisa, was that my husband had just shown me the first episode. Was it The Red X?
That's the first one, yeah.
The first one, which was...
Wow.
It started with Matt Smith's Doctor, which was mm-hmm. the 11th Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the current Doctor at the time. And my husband showed this to me, and it was just wonderful. And then I went to Comic-Con, and you were walking around with him
yes.
and also the 10th Puppet. And I just kind of like... was like, oh, they're really cute. You didn't happen to make those, did you? And you're like, I'm the one who made Dr. Puppet. And that's how it all happened.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always been really fun going to New York Comic Con was kind of the first convention I started going to. I mean, I've been going to it since before Dr. Puppet. So I've been going for years. And then the first year I went and just kind of brought a puppet with me and was walking around. It was really cool that people actually stopped me and knew what it was. So that was awesome. So you were probably one of the first people to do that. That was probably back in 2013.
It was 2013. I was looking at the picture that I took earlier and I'm like, yes, it was 2013 that happened.
So long ago. Yeah.
So we are we're big Doctor Who fans here. Natalie, would you like to talk about when you started watching Doctor Who?
So my mom is English, and she introduced us to Doctor Who, the original Doctor Who, gosh, since we were like 5 years old. So I grew up on it, and I absolutely love it. So,
and I was definitely aware of it, and I'd seen a bit of it as a child, and I knew Daleks and I knew the TARDIS, and then my husband started me, we ended up started watching it consistently, and it's one of those things that if you're trying to explain it to somebody who's never seen Doctor Who, it's kind of like you just kind of have to watch it, because if you explain it to people, I don't know if it'll come through as awesome as it is.
I agree with that.
Totally. Yeah.
How did you start watching Doctor Who, or how did you become a Whovian?
I was more recently. I didn't grow up with it. I mean, I'm sure if I could look back at my childhood, I probably had some brushes with it, but it was like,
that was me. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure I did. I remember finding out later that like one of my friends had like grown up with it, and I was like, surely we must've talked about it, because we were like knew each other in high school. Like surely she must've mentioned it in high school, but I didn't start watching it. It wasn't easy to watch. Back in like the 90s, it was a pretty hard time to watch Doctor Who, honestly. You know,
true.
Unless it wasn't on TV, in America, in an accessible way. I'm sure it was on in the middle of the night sometime.
And that's how I watched it, because I had insomnia. But it wasn't like I was watching it. Like I was definitely more of a New Who inductee.
Yeah, Totally. So I, you know, I probably had some brushes with it, and I wish I'd found it when I was a kid because I would have loved it. I always loved weird old things and sci-fi. I loved 60s and 70s TV, so it totally would have been something I was into. But sadly, I didn't find it until my first job, actually. It was my coworkers. I was working on a TV show for Nick Jr. And my coworkers were into it, a few of them, and they would talk about it. And so I started watching to to kind of like fit in. Basically, everyone was watching it, and it was back when David Tennant was the doctor. So, and that was the back when you would get the DVDs from Netflix. So that's how they were all watching it. I think that was a huge part of how a lot of Americans got into Doctor Who, was Netflix DVDs and with New Who. So that's how I got into it. And I remember when I started watching, I was aware that the next doctor was Matt Smith. So it was, I started watching when David Tennant, like when the specials were airing. So it was like kind of that era. Like, I guess
I loved that era. That was so good.
2009.
Yeah.
I mean, that's 10 years ago, which is crazy, but that's when I started watching. So I remember knowing Matt Smith was the new doctor, but he hadn't started yet. So it was kind of an exciting time to get into it. Cause then I remember when Matt started it, the 11th hour was just like the best episode ever. And I was totally sold, especially on Matt. Yeah. And here I am. And I got into it a lot more than my friends did. I will say, all those friends who were into it, like, they don't know what they did to me.
They were like, whoa, there. I mean,
yeah. Look what you made. Yep.
I think it's kind of cool when you think, though, about being in a situation where you're like, I mean, because growing up, I had some nerdy likes, and I didn't really talk about them as much as like other things, possibly because I wasn't aware that other people would, I don't know, you know, I mean, I was, I was more than happy to talk about like music and things like that. But I don't know why sci-fi, I didn't really talk about how much I loved it when I was a kid.
Yeah, I never felt like I could share that with anyone because no one knew what Doctor Who was. So,
but being in an environment where like you're peer pressured into getting into Doctor Who,
it's so funny. Yeah.
So about Dr. Puppet, it's beautiful,
gorgeous.
Thank you. Thank you.
The story itself, did you have an idea of where it was going when you started, or did you think to yourself, I'm going to make this thing and it's going to be self-contained, and it grew? I mean, obviously it really can't be, because one episode always feeds into another, but did you know how much it was going to take off? Like, were you like sure in your stomach that you were going to get to that end point and exactly where that point was going to be?
Such a funny question. But the answer is yes, that I always had a plan, but the plan changed. So, that's why there's all these cliffhangers. So the first couple episodes especially are really simple. And we actually made the first two simultaneously, episodes 1 and 2. That's why they're basically the same episode told from two different points of view. And then I started episode 3, like I had like 2 days off in between them. Like, we were just like barreling through those first few episodes because this was 2013. The original plan was to complete the full Dr. Puppet story to by the 50th anniversary in November of 2013. That was the plan. It didn't quite work out. It almost did, because we released 5 episodes of the 8 episodes before the November of 2013. So that's kind of ridiculous looking back. But that first year, we made 5 episodes, and then it took another 5 years to make 3. But that would have been the original plan. So that was always my thinking when I came up with Dr. Puppet. I had the opportunity with a little bit of money, not enough money. That's part of the problem. Just a little bit of money to start it. And then it was kind of like, we'll figure out, we'll do a, you know, crowdfunding later or something to finish it. But at least in the beginning, get a little money so I could hire some friends and put a little more, like they could spend more time in it because I still had a job. So, and they did too, but you know, they could come work at night and we'd kind of do double shifts so we could animate faster. And the idea was that I would tell this Doctor Who story where it's like the 11th Doctor, kind of like his timeline unraveling, and he was kind of kept running into himself. So that was like the idea, is that we're counting down basically to the 50th, and that the episode where that had every single Doctor in it would have come out the week of the 50th. And sometime in like August, I realized that we weren't going to hit the deadline. So I kind of had to make some changes, and I realized that the fifth episode was going to be the one that you know, that was, I wasn't going to have time to make another one. So that was going to be the one that released for the 50th. So, you know, I had a general sense of each episode, each part of the story, but not, it wasn't fully fleshed out even in the beginning. So I knew that one would have, the fifth and sixth, oh no, seventh, sixth and fifth doctors in it. And I decided to set it in a bakery so we could have a cake. So that was why that one has kind of a cake theme. And there's some references to all the doctors, their little cupcakes. And that's why, so that would release for the 50th. And then once the pressure was off not to release, you know, there wasn't a deadline anymore. So that's why the next episode took so much longer. And also, I think that by then I realized the original ending that I wanted to release for the 50th wasn't going to work. So we just sort of kind of made up a new ending. So everything past episode 5 is made up basically. And the original ending was very different than what we ended up doing for episode 8. But I'm kind of glad that I threw out the original ending, because episode 8 is so much better than what I originally had. And I'm actually, I've been saying this for a while now, but it really is going to happen soon, is I'm releasing a video on my YouTube channel where I'm going to reveal in detail the original ending of Dr. Puppet. So I won't go into it too much now, but I've talked about it a little before. It involves like a party about Doctor Who. That's what the original ending was, a party. And so soon, I've started this video. I've just had a lot of, I've been really busy lately. But pretty soon on my YouTube channel, I'll release the video where I go into excruciating detail and basically describe what the original ending was. So for anyone who's curious, and it's extremely different from episode 8. Although I do think, honestly, episode 8 is way better. So that's what happened. It's kind of like, yeah, I think that there's a good lesson to be learned there, that if when you're writing a story, it's nice to have a plan in place, to have an outline. But if you're halfway through it and you realize that maybe the original ending wasn't going to work, it's okay to change it, and you should. Like, you don't have to be like stuck with your original idea. I think it's nice to let yourself make changes and let yourself, you know, be unhappy with something that you were happy with previously. Like, it's okay to change your mind. I did. We did. It was kind of everyone who worked on Dr. Puppet. We all agreed that the original ending would have been a letdown. So I'm so glad we changed it.
Great. Do you have a favorite episode that you're most like proud of, or just,
I think episode 8 is the one that we're all the most proud of, because I think it has the most good stuff in it. It's you know, it has the animation is amazing, the music is amazing. It's the longest one. It's almost 10 minutes long. We put so much effort into it. I think it's the one that shows the hard work the best. But my favorite, just like, I think that the one that maybe is my favorite, not the one I'm proudest of, because that's episode 8, I think. The one who's like my favorite is The Planet That Came for Christmas, because it's one of our Christmas specials. Nice. And every year for 6 years, we made a Christmas special, you know, as is Doctor Who tradition. And what I love about the Christmas specials is they're standalone, unlike the numbered episodes. So I love that I can, you know, I can show someone episode 8, but it doesn't really make sense unless I've seen the other 7 episodes. And I love that I can show someone The Planet That Came for Christmas, and it makes sense on its own. Even if you don't understand Doctor Who, you can still kind of understand it. So I absolutely love that one. That's just like the one that I would watch over and over.
I love that episode.
Right? So it's so sweet. It wasn't supposed to be sweet. We tried to make a scary Christmas episode, but it's honestly, it's pretty darn sweet. But I love that it's German Expressionism. That was something that that episode also was special for me, because there was kind of a brain trust of us who work on Dr. Puppet, me, Scott, Aaron, Amanda, Rachel. We had these like meetings, and we kind of all discussed ideas for the Christmas special. So usually Dr. Puppet kind of comes out of my brain, and then other people kind of bounce ideas off of my original idea. But this one was different. We really sat down together and we came up with it as a group. So that's also special too. And I think that's why it's so good. So you know, the idea of German Expressionism came up, and we kind of all contributed to the story. We had these like this nice lunch meeting one day, I remember, and we all kind of really just like put that story together. And then I wrote it up as a script. So I love that one. It's so, yeah, it's pretty darn cute. It's not scary. I wish it were, but it's cute. I can't shake having worked in preschool television.
Who created those lyrics? They're so cute.
Ah, the lyrics are really funny in the song. So the song is an original composition from Scott, the composer. He's also the narrator. This is one thing I wanted him to do is I love when he does choral work in his music. And I insisted that he have a chorus or a choir in the score for The Plant That Came for Christmas. We thought it'd be creepy. That was something Erin, she's an animator and writer who works on Dr. Puppet too. And she also storyboarded this episode, and she really wanted the trees to kind of like have a voice. So that was kind of one idea, that there'd be this creepy choir in the background. We didn't know like if they should have lyrics. I thought they should have lyrics, and Scott says, no, you know, the choir doesn't usually have lyrics, not in a way that's understandable. He said we should make it German because it's German expressionism. So what the tree or the choir, which is like the representation of the voices of the trees, it's singing a Christmas carol in German, like a very well-known Christmas carol. I've seen comments from German viewers who watched The Plant That Came for Christmas on YouTube and are like, that's weird. That's like the lyrics to the choir. They're singing this very well-known German Christmas song, but you're singing it to the wrong melody. So it'd be like someone singing like, yeah, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, but to the wrong melody. It works for us who don't speak German. Distracting to those who speak German. Apologies.
I went to this, and this is just as an aside, because this is the best I can describe it as. I went to a concert last summer of the Foo Fighters. And, Dave Grohl started singing Jump to the tune of Imagine. And it was so weird. I mean, it was funny, because you thought he was going to sing Imagine. But then I'm like, no, those are not the lyrics. So that's, yeah, I think that's confusing. It was interesting. But that's, I think, like the best way that I could imagine how that would be. That's really cool. Yeah.
And I can't think of the lyrics to that Christmas song off the top of my head, but they are slightly appropriate because they talk about like snow and like, I think there might be some mention of a forest or something. So that's why he chose it. It was very appropriate. For that particular episode. And I think that is my favorite score. I love that score Scott did. I could just listen to that one all day.
So we were talking about just the scoring in general. How did you and Scott, the composer, come together?
it's so funny. It's so the very first Dr. Puppet video before the Red X, there was the very first Christmas special that I did. That was in December of 2012. That's called the How the Dr. Puppet Saved Christmas. It's very simple. It's very, very, very simple. I made it on my own in my apartment in just a couple weeks. I had, a little help making the set, but otherwise it was all me. And that one is a lot weaker because it's only me versus the other ones where all those other awesome, talented people helped me. So that's the difference right there. But that first one, I started making it in like September or October. I had this idea that was, I'd been taking photos of the puppet, the 11th Doctor puppet, for my Tumblr blog, but I hadn't animated him. And I am an animator and he's a stop motion puppet. So I said, I'm finally going to do, a more complicated project with this puppet. I'll do a little Christmas video in the style of Rankin and Bass that is like a Rudolph parody. So I started working on it that fall. And when it started picking up steam and I realized that I was going to finish it, I thought, oh, shoot, I really need music for this then if I'm actually going to finish this for once, because I have a kind of a reputation for not finishing things I start. So once I realized that I probably would finish, I needed a composer and I didn't know one. But I had a pretty big audience on Tumblr. So I actually just posted on Tumblr. I just made a little like ad and I said, hi, I'm working on a stop motion project with Dr. Puppet and I need someone to help me with music. If you can help him with that, shoot me an email. And a few people emailed me, but they didn't quite work out. And I remember just when I was like about to give up, I got an email from someone named Katie who said, hi, I have a friend, Scott, who would be perfect for this. He's done, he's a huge Doctor Who fan. He's done, his own Doctor Who fan films, he'll be perfect. And I thought, oh, thank goodness. So we started emailing back and forth. And at the time, he was a university student in England, and he only had like one weekend where he could do it. So I always credited Scott that he helped me finish it on time, because I had to be able to hand off the project to him so he could score it, because he had to, you know, go home for the holidays and he wouldn't have access to his, you know, his keyboard and everything. So I had to, you know, the deadline was like the week before Christmas, and I hit the deadline. I sent him the project and he scored it. And, you know, then a couple months later, when I found out that I was going to be part of the Nerdist Network on YouTube, and that meant that I had a little more money and we could make more videos, and I sent Scott an email telling him that I could bring him back to do more things and I could pay him this time. And it turned out that I had emailed him on his birthday. And so he had a really good birthday. And yeah, then we started working together, and pretty soon we became really good friends too. And I realized that how great an asset for Dr. Puppet he was, because he knows a lot more about Doctor Who than me, because he's actually English and he grew up with it. So he also kind of immediately became the Doctor Who consultant. So he started helping me write all the scripts, because I do have spotty knowledge of classic Doctor Who, and he has near perfect knowledge. So he helped me with all that. So we started becoming really good, like, you know, working together on that. And yeah, that was 6 years ago. And now, well, I mean, when we did episode 8, when we he wrote the score for that, and he got a real, you know, real live musicians to record the score. And I went over to England to watch it get scored. So to go hang out with Scott. So yeah, really darn lucky that I met him through Tumblr, through his friend Katie, because he's just been the greatest. So, you know, but like everyone on Dr. Puppet, it was like kismet that everyone kind of came together. Everyone else who works on it, I kind of knew before. I know them better because we've worked on it, but there are people that I met through jobs and working on animated projects together. But, you know, we've become this really nice little group of friends. And just in February, we went through a Doctor Who convention together, and Scott flew out from England for us to go. It's great.
That's pretty amazing. We were talking about how you got some involvement from BBC America.
Yeah, I have in a few, you know, I've been in touch with them since nearly the beginning. They've been aware of me. They've been very nice.
That's really awesome. So I know you worked in, you said you worked in children's television before, and this is, to me, Dr. Puppet is a great way to introduce Doctor Who to little kids.
Yeah, I didn't really think of that at first. Like I said, I think it was just kind of accidental that, of course it would be. I didn't think it would be, but of course.
Yes. it is really nice. Do you have, I know I'm like, sometimes I'm like, oh, these are such like stereotypical boilerplate questions, but, what's your favorite overall episode? Do you have one? Do you have a favorite doctor? Is it kind of hard to play favorites? I know, Natalie, you probably have a favorite doctor.
I do. Tom Baker is my forever favorite doctor.
Cause you grew up with them.
I did. My mom did, actually. She introduced me to him. Yeah.
Aww.
Yeah.
Was Tom Baker your mom's favorite?
Yes, he was.
What about, I have to go with David Tennant. I love him. He's such a good actor. He's got like this intensity about him that really just works. And he brings it, he really, I mean, maybe it's just because he's Scottish too, but Peter Capaldi was also Scottish. Something about the way that he played the Doctor. He was very good with being sad and intense and then funny. It really worked for me. But you know, some of my favorite episodes are not with him, even though several are. What about yourself?
You know, it's My first doctor was, so I started with Eccleston, but it was kind of Matt Smith that really hooked me for sure. I think the 11th hour still has a special place for me, but really I think that my favorite doctor is the one that I've felt like I went on the most of, like the journey with the most, if that makes sense. So yes. That's Peter Capaldi, because the majority of when we were making Dr. Puppet was the Peter Capaldi years, like really the entirety of it, because I mean, he started in, Matt Smith regenerated in December of 2013. So, you know, we only started making Dr. Puppet in 2013. So other than that first year, all the subsequent years were with Peter Capaldi. So the majority of the time that I was doing all this stuff, I always, in my head, the doctor was Peter Capaldi. And even though Dr. Puppet stars the 11th Doctor, the 12th Doctor got quite a lot of screen time in Dr. Puppet too. And I always like to bring the 12th Doctor Puppet around with me, because I like to bring the current Doctor when I go to a convention or something. That's kind of the one that's front and center. So it was a little Peter Puppet. So we went on, I've been so many places with my puppets, but the 12th Doctor Puppet especially, we've been all over the world together. It's crazy how many countries that little puppet has been to, and cities, and we've been on epic journeys together. So I kind of feel an attachment to him. And as much as I love the 11th Hour, I think my all-time favorite episode is Heaven Sent, because
I was just going to say that episode just kills me every time I see it. It's so good.
Every single aspect of it, the music, the editing, the acting, the writing, I mean, every single person who touched that episode, and the directing of Rachel Talalay, I mean, it's just amazing. So the first time I saw that episode, no other Doctor Who episode affected me like that one, where I was left speechless.
It was it was scary. Like, it was legitimately, you know, yeah. I know a lot of people say, what is it? the one with the angels.
Oh, Blink.
Blink. A lot of people are like, that's the scariest, but Heaven Sent. No, that one really just got me.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. And here's a funny little thing is that I guess about 2 years, probably 2 years before Heaven Sent aired, Erin, who works on Dr. Puppet, she went to England and Wales on vacation, and she actually brought the 12th Doctor Puppet with her. So I think the 12th Doctor Puppet has been to England like 4 times between me and other people who bring him. So he's said he's very well traveled. And so she was in London with him, and she also went to Cardiff, and she saw some Doctor Who sites, and she went to Cardiff Castle, and she took some photos of the 12th Doctor Puppet and the Clara Puppet, both of them, in Cardiff Castle. And she has some photos of them in some of the filming locations from Heaven Sent.
That's
but
so
she
cool.
Shot them like 2 years before. And I've been to Cardiff Castle too, but I went like 6 years ago, and I have some photos in the same rooms because they're, you know, it's not a very big castle. So I have like photos in like the dining room where he sits and eats his soup and stuff. Erin was the one who took photos of that puppet. So after Heaven Sent aired, like, took us a day for Erin to realize. She's like, oh my God, look at this photo. And she like sends me a photo of the puppet in the same place as the 12th Doctor. And we're like, oh my God.
That's so Doctor Who though.
Like, it is. I mean, I've done the same thing in New York. I mean, with the 11th Doctor puppet, because since I live in New York City, the very first photos I took of the puppet were around New York City, and then the Angels Take Manhattan aired, and it's like, wow, I got photos of them over in the, you know, Bethesda Terrace where Rory gets taken by the angels. Like, look, I have photos of the angel statue that takes Rory, and the puppet's already in it. Like, you know, small world, it really is.
That's so cool. Do you have, Natalie, do you have a favorite episode?
My favorite episode was the one where they all joined together. Like, it was the combination of the old doctors and the new doctors. I think it was a Christmas episode. Do you know which one I'm talking about?
Was it a more recent one?
No.
Like an old one?
I mean, like 2012?
Oh.
11?
Oh.
In it? I think Tom Baker was in it. It was a combination of
was that the was that new. The one But was that the 50th reunion, though? Because I think Tom Baker showed up at the end of that one, didn't he? He had, like, when he was, like...
Oh, yeah, yeah, he did. He did. Yeah, he did. Curator.
Yes, yes, where he's just, like, it was Tennant and Smith. Yes. And then at the end, he comes and he's, like, something like, oh, when I was you or when you were me, like, something like that.
Yes.
Yeah, that was one was...
brilliant.
It was nice. Mm-hmm. And I like, I do like how they've gotten, oh, I'm blanking on his name, that actor who's in everything from Harry Potter to Game of Thrones to play.
David Bradley? No. Bradley. What's his name? Yes.
Yeah, I believe so. I'm going to fact check this right now.
I think so.
He's really good. He played William Hartnett on there was a biopic about the creation of Doctor Who.
Oh yes, yes, yes. He played William Hartnell.
Hartnell, yes, and then he went and he played him, I guess, at the 12th Regeneration, which was cool.
Yeah, Twice Upon a Time.
Yeah, that was.
And he was also in Broadchurch.
He was in Broadchurch. Yes.
Yeah, with Christopher Nolan, David Tennant, and Jodie Whittaker. It's a
world. Yeah, I know. I feel like a lot of times, you know, they're reusing the actors, but it's almost like, you know, I don't know. It's comfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Peter Capaldi was in Doctor Who before he got cast. It's you know, the.
Yeah.
And I like when they acknowledge it too. And that one was really easy. It took them. When did they acknowledge that? It wasn't until his second season on Doctor Who that they kind of acknowledged that, like, you know, he didn't
chose his face.
I like that. I like that they did get around to it because it's, you know, they don't have to do it, but I mean, it's Doctor Who. Like, it's such a, for a writer, that must be the most interesting, like, little nugget that you can kind of turn into something that's very Doctor Who-ish. Like, why not do it? Like, you can, so do it, you know. And
they did that with Clara too, didn't they? She was in episodes before she was chosen as the sidekick.
Was she? Because she was. Are you talking? There were no. You know who was? Karen Gillan. Clara, because Clara was. There were other Claras, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh
yeah.
So she was, but she was. They were like, it was like alternate Claras, which then they decided, I guess, you know, they went back and they explained it. But yeah, Karen Gillan, was she in the same episode as Peter Capaldi?
She was. Yeah, the Pompeii episode. But they never acknowledged it. But I mean, she was wearing heavy makeup. Like, she basically was impossible to recognize anyway. And she was basically like a glorified extra. So they never acknowledged it. It would have been funny if they had, you know, you found out that, like, could have been, I mean, it could have been a throwaway line that the Amy got stuck in Pompeii for a week.
which is very possible considering that Amy loved that time period. Wasn't that like her favorite time period?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it also probably is heavily implied that that character died. So that's probably why they didn't do it.
Sure. Fair enough.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah.
They had Peter Capaldi.
Yes, which is good. Which is good.
So, enough.
So what are you working on now? Are you the stop motion animation? I know it takes a long time to animate like a small amount of
it does.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it took us a year to animate episode 8. Of course not working full time. If we'd done it full time, it still would have taken several months. But we all work, so that it was a nights and weekends thing, or if someone had a week between jobs, then they did as much as they could. It takes forever. So my plan is still to do more stop motion, I'm trying to be clever with the next project I'm working on. So I call it the anti-doctor puppet because it's I don't know if it's a music video or a non-narrative film, but it's not narrative, that's for sure. So it doesn't have a script like Dr. Puppet did, and I'm using some of Scott's music for it. And it's stop motion, but I'm not shooting it in my apartment where I shot Dr. Puppet because I really want my apartment back. So instead of building a set, I'm shooting it outside. So that's kind of fun and different. So it's stop motion, and I'm shooting it out in the woods. So I don't have to make a set. I just have to go out into the woods, which hasn't been very lucky so far, because I've been doing the making the, they're not really puppets. They're actually little sculptures. It's kind of difficult to explain, but they're called replacement sculptures. So that's what I'm doing for the characters in this film. And I bring them out to the woods, and then you kind of put them in front of the camera and you replace one with the other. And then you kind of have like a little loop of animation instead of a puppet. It's kind of fun. So it's, I'm shooting that out in the woods. And so far I've spent one weekend actually shooting in the woods, and I got bit by a tick and got sick.
Oh, so my God. No, I'm so sorry.
It's okay. I'm fine now, but I'm like,
wow, oh, thank goodness.
I'm okay. I'm on antibiotics and it's not Lyme, but.
Oh, good.
yeah. So this project's off to a great start, but, no, it's actually, I think it's going really well. Other than that, at least now I'm more prepared for the next time I go out into the woods. And I should know these things because I grew up in the woods, but you know, it happens. Just, you know, check yourself for ticks, wear bug spray. It's all important. So, yeah, I'm going to work on that probably like next month, like August and September. I plan to spend basically every weekend out in the woods shooting this little weird project that might end up being a music video. I'm not sure yet, but we'll see. It depends on how I edit it, I guess. And then my plan is to finish that up in the fall. And then I want to do film festivals with it, which is something I didn't do with Dr. Puppet. So it's like the anti-Dr. Puppet. In that it fulfills some things I didn't get to do with Dr. Puppet, like spend time outdoors and go to film festivals. So that's the plan. We'll see how it goes. Hopefully all the bad luck on this project is now behind me. So other than that, I don't know. But I know that I love working with the people I made Dr. Puppet with. So I hope to keep collaborating with them in one way or another.
Well, thank you so much. And especially after hearing that. And I'm so glad you're okay.
I'm fine. I'm
yeah.
Fine. Lesson to be learned. Be careful in the woods.
Yes. I'm just glad. I'm glad that you're willing to sacrifice one of your days of the weekend in September to come out with us.
Oh, no worries. Hopefully I'll be done shooting by then.
Oh, cool.
I really hope to be. yeah. That's the plan.
So thank
you. Yeah, no, I'm really looking forward to it.
So are we.
We're so excited.
We're yeah. so excited. We there was I do some you know some time at different public desks, and I was at the children's desk recently, and a dad came in and he was wearing a shirt with Gallifrey and glyphs on it. And I said, I'm like, "Oh, you know, we're having, you know, SciCon and you know, it's our pop culture convention." And I said, yeah, did you know that Elisa Stern, who makes Dr. Puppet, is going to be here? And his eyes just lit up. And he's like, you mean like on the YouTube channel? And I was like, yes, absolutely. And he's like, well, now he's like, I was planning on coming. He's like, but now I want to come even more. So it's.
That's so sweet. That means so much. That's awesome.
So thanks again. This was Jessica and.
Natalie.
And.
Elisa.
And we're going to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.